Okay, what I want to share with you, I mean, it's very exciting when you've got something from the Lord, and the prophetic, the last song and the prophetic word of Tom's, I think, is a real platform for what I'm about to share. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy 11, and we're going to read from verse 8 to 15. If you're taking notes this morning, or if you're downloading this onto the website for people, then the title is A Different Type of Land. A little bit of a background to Deuteronomy 11, verse 8 to 15. I mean, really, the background is very simple. This is God speaking to the Israelites as they prepare to cross into the new land that God's promised them, as they prepare to take hold of their manifest destiny to go where God wants them to go and take possession of what God wants them to take possession of. So let's read Deuteronomy 11, verse 8 to 15. God says this to them. He says, "Observe therefore all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you're entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you've come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is the land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied." Who knows that these days, whenever you buy anything with any software in it, that one of the things you buy into is upgrades with the software, whether it's your phone or your laptop or increasingly things like your TV or your heating system, even upgrades are an essential feature of what you've bought into when you bought into the product. And if you don't download the upgrades, somehow you get stuck. Somehow you can't progress in using whatever it is that that software applies to. And I want to suggest to you this morning that the same is true in our walk with God. When you connect with God by giving your life to him and receiving him as Lord of your life and walking with him as your heavenly Father, he wants you to journey with him in a way that increasingly brings you into a deeper and richer experience of him. So the Christian walk was never meant to be static. It is a relationally dynamic, progressive walk in which we're meant to increasingly experience new levels and depths of God's love, God's power, God's grace, God's holiness, his righteousness and glory. It's meant to be a dynamic, progressive walk in which we become more and more like Christ and grow deeper and deeper in our understanding of his love and his heart and his ways. A walk in which our passion, love and service of him grows and deepens and becomes more and more effective. It is in God's heart that your relationship and experience of him does not remain static or get stuck, but enjoys, if you like, updates and upgrades, new and fresh encounters and experiences of God's grace that give you a deeper and richer knowledge and experience of him and make you increasingly Christ-like and increasingly effective in your love and service of him. If you seek to walk with God in a way that engages with the life of the Holy Spirit, then the last thing the Christian walk is static or boring, religious or ritualistic. I've walked with the Lord 35 years, and it's never been that. Now, this passage in Deuteronomy 11 is about God wanting to give his people an upgrade. And in this particular instance, he's wanting to upgrade the land that they're living in. And so let's look at what that upgrade looks like. The land that they had been in is summarized in verse 10. The Lord said to them, "Let the land you're entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden." So the land they had been in was a land that they had to personally care for. It was about their personal energy and effort with the land. They had to personally plant each individual seed, and they had to personally obtain water for it. And verse 10 tells us that they had to irrigate it by foot, like a vegetable garden. And what did that mean in Egypt? Well, that meant digging channels by hand from the river Nile that could carry the water huge distances to the plot of land that you were trying to cultivate and bring forth harvest from. And then it meant, having dug those channels, it meant erecting treadmills that you then had to power by foot to move the water along those channels to the vegetable garden. Not only was it a huge amount of energy and effort, there was also a huge amount of unpredictability with the environment, which meant despite all the effort, the harvest itself was still ultimately unpredictable. So it was a land where there was a huge amount of energy and effort required, with often very little in the way of return. But God wanted to give them an upgrade. He wanted to give them a new experience of his grace and favor, bring them, if you like, into new levels of his grace and favor, and by bringing them into a different type of land. And the land that was to come, that he wanted to bring them into, was a totally different type of land and experience from the one that they had been in. And we read about this land in verses 9 to 15. See, this land isn't a land that primarily relies on your effort and care. This is a land, the scripture says, God cares for. Verse 12 says, it's a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on this land from the beginning of the year to its end. And you don't have to irrigate this land by foot like a vegetable garden because it's a different type of land and landscape. Verse 11 tells us it has mountains and it has valleys in it that drinks the rain from heaven. In other words, when it rains, the water is channeled and flows as streams and rivers. In this land, you aren't irrigating it by foot, by treadmill. It's irrigated by rain from heaven that comes in the forms of streams and rivers. And the provision of rain in this land is neither precarious nor unpredictable. In fact, it's guaranteed to come exactly when it's needed. Because verse 14 tells us that God sends the rain and he sends it in season. Autumn rains and spring rains, exactly as and when it's needed to maximize the harvest. And here's the ultimate promise. The harvest doesn't depend on our efforts, on our effort in planting the seed, on our effort in irrigating it all by foot. In this land, verse 14 and 15 tells us, God provides the harvest. He provides grass for your cattle. He provides the grain. He provides the new wine. He provides the olive oil. In this land, the grace and the goodness of God brings forth a supernatural harvest that the workers simply have to gather in and be satisfied with. I read this passage in my daily devotional time with God back in December. Actually, I read it on Christmas Eve. And I had a very significant encounter with God out of this scripture. In fact, I felt God speak to me very personally about four areas of my life, two of them to do with relationships and two of them to do with areas of service, where I simply wasn't experiencing much progress, where it just felt like a lot of my hard work and effort and had done for years and years and years. In fact, this is what I wrote in my journal and prayed on that day out of that encounter with God. I wrote in my journal, Father, I pray over these four fields, over these four lands that I believe you have called me to serve you in and believe for a harvest from. I wrote, I'm wearied and discouraged that I have to keep irrigating these four fields by foot. Could you bring a seasonal rain into each of these fields? Could you care for these lands? Could you cause your eyes to be on these fields continually from the beginning of the year to its end? Could you cause the land to drink rain from heaven? Could you ensure a harvest? I wrote, I appeal to you today, Father, could you give me some significant encouragement for each field, a sign for each one that helps me know that these lands will be different in the future to how they've been in the past, a sign that encourages me that you're caring for these fields, that you're watering them, that your eyes are upon them and you will ensure the harvest, and dated it 24/12/15. I felt something from the Holy Spirit that day. I felt God was going to bring myself and Linda personally and us as a church into a new season of his grace and favor. Actually, I had a second remarkable encounter with God that really confirmed it, but I had not got time to go into that. But I really sensed out of that encounter that the land in front of us was going to be different from the land that we were and had been in. And it was a faith thing, not a hope. Not a, I'm wearied, I wish it would change. It was faith. It's to do with the fact God spoke to me once powerfully on 24th of December, but a second time, 2 weeks later, absolutely extraordinarily, and just confirmed it. And I thought, this is God, not my hope. And we just felt the land was going to be different, that God was going to somehow upgrade his grace and favor to us, exchange our vegetable gardens for a land of mountains and valleys that drinks the rain from heaven. I felt that was going to care for us both at an individual level and for us at a church and corporate level. And so Linda and I have, since that time, embarked on a faith journey over the last few months of believing God for some fresh breakthroughs, for some new waves of grace and favor, for a new type of land. And we've encouraged our church to believe these verses in Deuteronomy 11 for themselves and to embark on the journey with us. To believe for areas of our personal lives and areas of our church life that feel stuck to become unstuck. To believe that areas which feel like a lot of hard work and human effort, like a treadmill, might be changed, might receive a divine upgrade and start to feel like heaven's rain is watering them. There were two other things we encouraged people to understand from Deuteronomy 11, alongside the encouragement to have faith for a new type of land. Those two things are found in verse 8 and verse 13. In verse 8, God says this. He says, observe therefore all the commands I'm giving you today, so you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess. And verse 13 says, God says, so if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so you may gather in your grain, new wine and olive oil. And so we've encouraged people to believe in many areas, God wants to bring them into a new season of grace and favor, but we've made it clear that walking faithfully and devotionally in wholehearted service of God remains a very important factor in that. And we encouraged ourselves and we encouraged the church to go deeper in your devotion to the Lord. Give him more time, pray more, fast. All those sorts of things. And equally important, we encourage the church, is an understanding we don't just passively come into a new land. We have to believe for it. We have to expect it. We have to pray for it. We have to fast for it. And we have to actively take steps, cross Jordan rivers that are in flood and therefore very risky to cross if we're going to come into that land. So it's devotion and faithfulness and love, wholehearted love for the Lord and the willingness to take risks and steps of faith. That was the context we set. So we've encouraged people to believe for this right across every aspect of their lives and walk with God, to bring any stuck areas to the Lord, whether that's in their relationships, in their finances, in their family, in their health, in difficult and challenging circumstances they're facing, whether at home, in the workplace, in their neighborhood, whether it's their own personal relationship with God, wherever and whatever feels stuck or simply like treadmill, hard work and human effort, we've encouraged them to look to God for fresh grace, fresh favor, for new breakthroughs, for a different type of land, with a sense of deeper devotion and willingness to take some new steps of risk and faith by crossing some Jordans. And one area above all other areas that the song sort of drew us towards and Tom prophesied out of as well, one area above all others we've asked God for an upgrade in has been our effectiveness in reaching the lost with the gospel. Because while we continually in our church see a trickle of salvations and responses to the gospel, we have not seen anywhere near the numbers being saved that we believe God wants saved. In fact, to be honest, that was one of the four fields that I wrote about in my journal on Christmas Eve. Getting the gospel out to the lost and seeing a response to it, for me, has personally and for our church, has felt like we're working a treadmill. It's felt like a lot of effort at times for very little return. So we've especially been asking God in this area for an upgrade of grace and favor, for a new type of land that's different from the old, different from how it's been to date. Asking him to give us a new confidence, a new boldness, new breakthroughs to authenticate the gospel with the supernatural and somehow start to transform the landscape for us when it comes to reaching the lost. And so that's a journey we embarked on. We combined it at Easter with a call to our church to 40 days of prayer and fasting and really giving ourselves over that 40 days. We encourage people to go deeper over those 40 days with Christ devotionally, give themselves to more prayer and fasting, cross the Jordans, and to believe what God had said to us, to receive coming into a new type of land, not simply as a hope and desire, but as the desire and heart of God for us. And we also actually ask people to faithfully share. We opened a new sort of testimony line where people could bring testimonies of what God was doing over that time to us. So I'm just going to share with you over the next 10 minutes or so just a number of things that we saw over that 40 days and a number of encouragements. So when I gave this message at our church, huge numbers of the church came out, got on their knees, met with the Lord. And on the Friday after Sunday, I had a lady phone me called Denise Coleman. She rang me, very excited. She said, thank you so much for preaching this message. God is amazing. God's wonderful. Loads of expletives. It took me ages to actually understand what she was saying, but we got there eventually. She said, I came to the church. I came on my knees at the front asking God for an upgrade in grace and favor for my mum and dad. She said, my dad has been ill for years. My mum can't care for him. And he really needs to be put into care, but she feels so guilty and overwhelmed by guilt that she cannot come into a place, and they're struggling more and more, and it's really taken her down. Over the last few years, she's a Christian, the mother is a Christian, the father is not a Christian. So she said, so I prayed, God, this stuck situation, you've got to unstuck it. Said. So I went round on Sunday afternoon, having prayed this, said, something amazing happened. She said, my mother was totally different in the conversation. My mother turned around and said to me, I feel I'm ready to get some help and put your father into care. She felt, praise God. What an amazing immediate answer to prayer. Said that wasn't the end of it that week. She said that when I was talking to my mother, I might cry a little bit in this. I'm sorry if I do. She said, when I was talking to my mother said something to me. She said, one of the great sadnesses in my life is that your father has never really expressed a lot of affection to me. And so Denise prayed for her mother in that. And her father is not only incapacitated physically, he's also struggling with dementia, things that's coming on. So it's a real difficult situation. Anyway, on the Wednesday of that week, the mother was cleaning the father's bedroom and he was sat there and he was following her around the room with his eyes like he'd never done before. She turned around and said to him, what are you looking at? He turned around to her and he said, I am looking at my most beautiful, beautiful wife. Never said anything like that to her. And that wasn't the end of the upgrades. 2 days later, they were talking about him going into care. And the dad started crying. Had an incredibly lucid sort of moment in time, because it's still, the dementia hasn't set in that badly. But her dad has always been hard to the gospel. She had an amazing moment where she was able to share the gospel. And on the Thursday, she led her father through to the Lord. She said, I came to the front on a Sunday morning asking God for an upgrade. He said, and I can't believe what he's done with my family over the last few days. She said, and I know it's God, not me. Over those 40 days, now those 40 days, personally, Linda and I saw a whole number of personal situations that were stuck get unstuck. In fact, we had a whole 2/3 of a page of A4 after it all that we wrote down. There was one relationship that's very precious to me that for 5 years been absolutely struggling with. It's been quite dysfunctional in a particular way. And I have tried every single thing I could possibly do to change that and to get that functional and to get that right. In the middle of that 40 days, it totally changed in a way that it's not been for years and years and years. Totally changed. And I kept saying to Linda, this looks as though it's completely changed, this relationship. She said, I think it has. Then when we connected again with that person, it has changed. You know, when something's been some way for a certain time, you can hardly believe it's changed. Well, actually, do you know what? It completely changed. It was, and I absolutely did nothing different. Nothing changed. Nothing was said, but God intervened. And something that had been stuck for 5 years became unstuck and has remained unstuck and flourishing since. We have looked sought to be salt and light witnesses on our road, on our street, for 13 years we've lived there. We have had virtually zero responsiveness. And the neighbours each side of us not only have zero responsiveness, they have a most definite sort of, you know, keep away sort of from us. We don't want you and your religion. Yeah, it's been a disappointment to us. It's felt like a vegetable garden, irrigating our street by foot. Well, I tell you, over these 40 days, we didn't do anything different. We just dug down to God and prayed more. We came back off a week's holiday in the middle of this 40 days where we were meant to be fasting, and we went away for a week feasting. But hey, God's gracious. We came back. As soon as we came back, within an hour came back, these neighbors who've really kept us distant knocked on the door, said, thank goodness you're back. They started to unpack a family drama that had arisen and said, we were so upset you were away, because we know you as the people on this street that would pray for us. You're the people on the street that pray for people. And we wanted you to be here. You weren't here. But now you're here. You can pray for us. And we prayed for them there and then. In fact, over the course of the next weeks, we prayed for them many times. And in fact, they came to church. You know, we saw God work in a miraculous way. And that was so with one side. And the other side as well. 8 years they've been in. Nothing's ever happened. In the middle of that 40 days, we had them in the house. We're sharing the love of God. We're sharing the gospel. We're praying for them. Either side. I had two non-Christian friends I've not seen for years contact me. Get in touch with me. I was able to share the gospel with them, and I was able to lead one of them through to the Lord. You're talking to a guy who's so connected with Christians in his whole working week that I hardly see any non-Christians. Shame on me. Let alone have any ability to share the gospel. But during this 40 days, something remarkable and spectacular changed, not through our effort, changing our effort levels, but because we got on our knees and we believed what God was saying. As a church, we have come into a new level of prophetic accuracy. Don't have time to share some of these stories of that. Songwriting has started to flow in a new way in our church. Thrill for me to see Chris and Matt from our church, Matt Horner, our son-in-law, writing a song. It's about the gospel, because that's what God's speaking to us about in this whole upgrading thing. As an eldership team, we've come into a whole new level with one another relationally. And evangelistically for our people, something has started changing. Can I give you a few testimonies? We'll be landed by quarter past. 24 minutes. I've got 35. That gives me 10 minutes left. Let me share with you a few stories. Here's one of our elders, Chris Vale. These are from the testimony line. I've been working at a secondary school in Middlesbrough one day a week for around 7 years. I prayed and looked to be missional every week. I'm there, but hardly had any opportunities with the gospel at all. During these 40 days, I've not only felt more bold and a renewed passion to be effective for Jesus at the school, but I've seen and heard all God is doing in and through so many other people at TVCC. I was emboldened to watch what God is doing in people's lives and for me to be ready and available to be his mouthpiece, hands and feet. Just before Easter, I felt I should shift my posture from being one of me trying hard to make things happen and instead watch and listen for what God was doing. Well, the first day after deciding that, he said, I went in, I had an amazing experience. One of the music teachers that works with me came in and said to me, thank you for praying for my back 3 years ago. God's really healed it and done something. An hour later, the guitar teacher who works at a music college came into my teaching room and out of the blue started talking to me about God and asking me about God. And then an hour after that, the drum teacher came in and started a conversation with me about God. He says, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was so buzzing that when I met with the two heads of department, I launched into a 15-minute blurb about our upcoming Easter service, adult baptisms, modern worship, and lots more. And actually, some of those teachers came to church as well and were touched by God. 7 years working, gets hold of God wanting to bring some sense of new grace and favor to his evangelistic efforts, has three conversations from started by other people about the Lord, and then has a new boldness. This is Matt Horner, our son-in-law, wrote the song. One of the areas I've been in praying into more recently in believing God for more breakthrough in my life is the area of personal witness and evangelism. I found God opening up new doors in my workplace, people that I would never have viewed as being interested at all in the Christian faith, opening up to me in a new way with a hunger to know about God and the Christian faith. Some of my work colleagues have also come to church off the back of friendship and conversations with them. It was the first time they've been to church in their lives, and they felt really blessed by coming. That's been a real encouragement to me, as he says, that I feel there's a real upgrade coming in my place of work. He said, and then last weekend I was praying and asking God for more opportunities to talk about the hope of Jesus with others and seeing breakthrough in this area, see a new type of land. He says, and I was in Yarm that day getting my hair cut, and I asked the hairdresser how he was doing as a polite response to his initial question to me. To which I got the reply, the hairdresser said to him, to be honest, I'm feeling a bit lost at the moment and I'm searching for purpose in my life. He said, not being the typical hairdresser response, I started laughing inside and then spent the next 25 minutes sharing with him about the difference God had made in my life, highlighting the purpose and hope that he's brought to me. It was amazing to see the hairdresser intrigued and listening closely. In the past, I might have lacked confidence to step out or may have worried about saying the wrong thing. However, it's not only an amazing and fun, but it felt really normal and so easy, etc., etc. I won't read you some more, but I'll tell you the other two I've got there. Actually, here's a cell leader and his wife. They started praying for different people in their cell that their cell members knew. And one of the guy they've been praying for had since been to church 3 times and says he wants to continue coming. Another guy they started praying for had started the Alpha course at our church. And a mother and daughter they've been praying for came to the church and gave their lives to Christ the Sunday morning after, just before he wrote this. And then one of our other guys, a new Christian, Ian Jilks, also had an amazing encounter. I won't read it all out to you, but this is how it basically went. He works as an electrician. He works for a housing association. He's not really allowed to talk about the Lord. He went into a house and started talking with the guy, and the guy shared with him a real sadness. The guy shared with him that he hadn't spoken to his son for 12 years, and what a pain that was for, what a heartache that was for him. The guy that's a new Christian, been a Christian 6 months, he thought, well, I can't pray for him out loud or offer to pray with him because I'll lose my job. They're so strict about that. But he said, what I'll do is pray in my head for him and his son. While he was praying for him, the phone went. The phone went with, and the guy, it was a completely unexpected number to the guy, and it was the guy's son that rang as this guy in Jilks was praying. The son rang. And the guy put the phone down because he wanted to ring him back when Ian had gone. But the first thing he said to Ian was, were you praying for my son to contact him? It's a great testimony. I'd love you to have read it out, but it's incredibly powerful. In our Sunday gatherings over those 6 weeks, people, we have more unbelievers in our meetings than we've ever had in the 13 years I've been there, and people got saved every week. Sometimes just one person, sometimes as many as six people. And it wasn't only true for our church, actually a number of churches in the Northeast, you know, really set their hearts to believe God wanted to bring them into a new type of land. And, you know, our church in Gateshead has not seen anyone saved for years. Over that time, they saw four totally different people saved over those 40 years. Do you know how encouraging that is for a small church? Yeah. You know, our church in Sunderland actually has seen some very significant breakthroughs and some works in a very difficult, tough estate and has seen some breakthroughs in some key people's lives on that estate. Our Hexham church had unbelievers saved every Sunday morning over those 6 weeks. Our work in Leeds had grown in the last 8 months from 9 people to 30 people, with 13 of those being from new birth, and those figures are out of date. I'm not wanting to leave you with the suggestion it's revival. It most definitely isn't, but something has been happening and changing for us at an individual and corporate level that I can only put down to the grace and the goodness and the kindness and the favor of God. And here's my faith for you today as we finish. If you've sat there and as I've been talking about vegetable gardens, the Holy Spirit has brought to mind for you exactly what your vegetable gardens are, and somehow you felt God speak into your heart that he wants you to believe for more because he wants to do more than you're currently seeing and experiencing, then I want to encourage you this morning to receive this word by faith for yourself personally and for your church and for this city. If you do that, I believe you can seriously look to God with a fresh sense of faith and expectancy for new waves of grace and favor for new and upgraded lands. Does it mean everything everywhere will suddenly become easy without any struggles, challenges, or difficulties? Does it mean all my vegetable gardens disappeared? No, it does not. And it does not. In this world, we have many troubles, and right at the heart of being a disciple is the cross, self-denial, suffering, and death. But I guarantee you that some significant, stuck, and unchanging lands will start drinking rain from heaven. And if you set your heart to see new lands, particularly when it comes to your effectiveness with the gospel personally and corporately, there's absolutely no doubt about that one changing. And God doing some real miracles if you believe him. Cross some Jordans, give yourselves to him in a new way. If God's speaking to you today and you combine his word with faith, the kingdom will come, the grace and kindness and favor of God will come in new ways to you and to your church, and most significantly through you to the broken and disconnected lost people out there that God loves and has called you to serve and reconnect with him. If you will trust and believe his word, keep him faithful and devoted to him, and being prepared to deepen that devotion, being prepared to pray and to fast into those vegetable gardens, and being prepared as well to cross some Jordans, take some risks, some new steps of faith that leads you to putting your feet on some new ground, then I believe you can see this geographical land you live in, this city of Manchester, the city of Worcester, changed spiritually from a desert land that feels like a vegetable garden you will always have to irrigate by foot to a land of mountain and valleys that will drink the rain from heaven. So in conclusion, I don't know in what areas of your life and service you might feel like you are living in a vegetable garden and you're irrigating things by foot, where it just feels like hard work and human effort without a significant amount of grace. But whoever you are and whatever area of life that is in, I want to encourage you today and over the coming days that God wants you to know and experience new levels of grace and favor and exchange many of those vegetable gardens for a different type of land, a land of mountains and valleys that drinks the rain from heaven, he says at 34 minutes and 40 seconds. Thank you.